Book 3, Chapter 2, A Great Slaughter About Ascalon. Vespasian comes to Ptolemais. Now the Jews, after they had beaten Cestius, were so much elevated with their unexpected success, they could not govern their zeal, but like people blown up into a flame by their good fortune, carried the war to remoter places. Accordingly, they presently got together a great multitude of all their most hardy soldiers, and marched away for Ascalon. This is an ancient city that is distant from Jerusalem 520 furlongs, and was always an enemy to the Jews, on which account they determined to make their first effort against it, and to make their approaches to it as near as possible. This excursion was led on by three men, who were the chief of them all, both for strategy and sagacity: Niger, called the Persite, Silas of Babylon, and besides them, John the Essene. Now Ascalon was strongly walled about, but had almost no assistance to be relied upon near them, for the garrison consisted of one cohort of footmen and one troop of horsemen, whose captain was Antonius. These Jews, therefore, out of their anger, marched faster than ordinary, and, as if they had come but a little way, approached very near the city, and were come even to it. But Antonius, who was not unapprised of the attack they were going to make upon the city, drew out his horsemen beforehand, and being neither daunted at the multitude nor the courage of the enemy, received their first attacks with great bravery. And when they crowded to the very walls, he beat them off. Now the Jews were unskillful in war, but were to fight with those who were skillful therein. They were footmen to fight with horsemen. They were in disorder, to fight those that were united together. They were poorly armed, to fight those that were completely so. They were to fight more by their rage than by sober counsel, and were exposed to soldiers that were exactly obedient, and did everything they were bidden upon the least intimation. So they were easily beaten. For as soon as ever their first ranks were once in disorder, they were put to flight by the enemy's cavalry, and those of them that came behind, such as crowded to the wall, fell upon their own party's weapons, and became one another's enemies. And this was so long until they were all forced to give way to the attacks of the horsemen, and were dispersed all the plain over, which plain was wide, and all fit for the horsemen, which circumstance was very commodious for the Romans, and occasioned the slaughter of the greatest number of the Jews. For such as ran away, they could overrun them, and make them turn back. And when they had brought them back after their flight, and driven them together, they ran them through, and slew a vast number of them, insomuch that others encompassed others of them, and drove them before them whithersoever they turned themselves, and slew them easily with their arrows. And the great number there were of the Jews seemed a solitude to themselves, by reason of the distress they were in, while the Romans had such good success with their small number that they seemed to themselves to be the greater multitude. And as the former strove zealously under their misfortunes, out of the shame of a sudden flight and hopes of the change in their success, so did the latter feel no weariness by reason of their good fortune, insomuch that the fight lasted till the evening, till 10,000 men of the Jews' side lay dead, with two of their generals, John and Silas, and the great part of the remainder were wounded, with Niger, their remaining general, who fled away to the small town of Idumea, called Salus. Some few also of the Romans were wounded in this battle. Yet were not the spirits of the Jews broken by so great a calamity, but the losses they had sustained rather quickened their resolution for other attempts. For, overlooking the dead bodies which lay at their feet, they were enticed by their former glorious actions to venture on a second destruction. So when they had lain still so little a while that their wounds were not yet thoroughly cured, they got together all their forces, and came with greater fury and with greater numbers to Ascalon. But their former ill fortune followed them, as the consequence of their unskillfulness and other deficiencies in war. For Antonius laid ambushes for them in the passages they were to go through, where they fell upon snares unexpectedly, and where they were encompassed about with horsemen, before they could form themselves into a regular body for fighting, and were above 8,000 of them slain. So all the rest of them ran away, and with them Niger, who still did a great many bold exploits in this flight. However, they were driven along together by the enemy, who pressed hard upon them into a certain strong tower belonging to a village called Bezida. However, Antonius and his party, that they might neither spend any considerable time about this tower, which was hard to be taken, nor suffer their commander, and the most courageous man of them all, to escape from them, they set the wall on fire. And as the tower was burning, the Romans went away rejoicing, as taking it for granted that Niger was destroyed. But he leaped out of the tower into a subterraneous cave, into the innermost part of it, and was preserved. And on the third day afterward he spake out of the ground to those that with great lamentation were searching for him in order to give him a decent funeral, and when he was come out, he filled all the Jews with an unexpected joy, as though he were preserved by God's providence to be their commander for their time to come. And now Vespasian took along with him his army from Antioch, which is the metropolis of Syria, and without dispute deserves a place of the third city in the habitable earth that was under the Roman Empire, both in magnitude and other marks of prosperity. Footnote, Spanheim and Rieland both agree that the two cities here esteemed greater than Antioch, the metropolis of Syria, were Rome and Alexandria. Nor is there any occasion for doubt in so plain a case. End footnote. Where he found King Agrippa with all his forces waiting for his coming, and marched to Ptolemais. At this city also the inhabitants of Sepphoris of Galilee met him, who were for peace with the Romans. These citizens had beforehand taken care of their own safety, and being sensible of the power of the Romans, they had been with Cestius Gallus before Vespasian came, and had given their faith to him, and received the security of his right hand, and had received a Roman garrison. And at this time withal they received Vespasian, the Roman general, very kindly, and readily promised that they would assist him against their own countrymen. Now the general delivered them, at their desire, as many horsemen and footmen as he thought sufficient to oppose the incursions of the Jews, if they should come against them. And indeed, the danger of losing Sepphoris would be no small one in this war that was now beginning, seeing it was the largest city of Galilee, and built in a place by nature very strong, and might be a security of the whole nation's fidelity to the Romans.